It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a bitch.
Colbert.
Cowboys break the huddle. 14 seconds left. They're out of timeouts. Down six. Does Dak Prescott have some magic left up his sleeve? They work from the San Francisco 40. Prescott takes the shotgun snap. He's going to run around left guard. Prescott slides inside the 25, but there's 8 seconds left and counting. They scurry up to the line of scrimmage, down to two, down to one. It's down to zeros. What will they say here? San Francisco onto the field with the coaching staff and the sideline players. They think it's over. And everyone looking in the direction of referee Alex Kemp.
Well, the umpire had a hard time getting that spotted because there's bodies going everywhere and he got knocked around a little bit.
That's the end of the game.
Oh, it couldn't have gone any more poetic for the Dallas Cowboys yesterday in what was an NFL super wild card weekend and a triple header. You heard it all yesterday right here on The Fan. And I, you know what, in fairness to the Cowboys, one, I'll credit them because they actually played the most interesting game yesterday by far. Tampa Bay Philly was not incredibly appealing how that played out. Obviously not the case in the nightcap with the Chiefs just beating up the Steelers. And, oh boy, yeah. I another thing, too. I don't actually mind that call. It's a smart call because, as you've heard, perhaps Dan Patrick, Jim Rome, Maggie and Perloff explain today here on The Fan, the Niners are protecting the sidelines because they're thinking two things. Are you taking a Hail Mary shot on this play? Are you going to do two Hail Marys, basically? Or are you going to try to get 8 to 18 yards on a sideline out route and then take your last shot to the end zone? And at that point, you know, you get enough yardage, it was going to go from Hail Mary to, you know, deep pass. And that's worth a lot. So what are they not going to be paying attention to? They're not going to be thinking Dak's going to run, and they're not also going to be guarding really the middle of the field. And the Cowboys, too, the way that the play design worked, I mean, the middle of the field was wide open. But as I think may have been pointed out on the Dan Patrick show, that play's got to come with a little more nuance when you're calling it in the huddle. Tell your offensive lineman, if this works the way that it should, I'm going to go down no matter what at this yard line after I've gained 12 yards or 15 yards. So we can be absolutely certain that when we all get down there and get on the line of scrimmage, there's going to be enough time to spike the ball. I'm not here for the group of people that want to criticize that official because he didn't get down there in time. Maybe he should have. I know there are NFL players saying that, but the Cowboys cannot allow that to come into the equation at all. If you're going to make that play call, you got to know the risks associated with it. It was also incredible, too, how the video board affected the game yesterday. I heard this in the first hour of Maggie and Perloff. If you're unaware, that's our new show, debuted on January 3rd. The former Andrew McLovin Perloff, now paired up with Maggie Gray from our great friends at CBS Sports Radio. They're in our weekday afternoon 2 to 5 slot, so make sure you check it out. precedes this show, obviously. But they were pointing out how, you know, the punt yesterday from San Francisco had hit the board. They got a repunt. They ended up getting that ball down inside the Dallas 10-yard line. And then, two, they're playing at 3 o'clock, and obviously it's winter time. So late in the game, there's an incredible amount of glare because the stadium goes west to east. And that's not typically the case. So Jerry Jones just cannot get out of his own way, right? He absolutely cannot get out of his own way. And I think the next example of that is going to be that his boy, the assistant GM, Stephen Jones, said that he's very confident Mike McCarthy's coming back next year. So what's going to happen is, for some reason, the Cowboys are not going to have the chutzpah to just say, okay, Mike McCarthy, thanks for everything you've done, but we can do this without you. You're not a difference-making head coach. We do feel like our defensive coordinator, Dan Quinn, has been a difference maker. Our offensive, our OC, Kellen Moore, is a difference maker. And then elevate one of those two guys. And we've also seen Jerry Jones before, too, just say, I'm going to make you the highest paid coordinator of the league to keep a guy around. And I don't even know why I care this much, because it's the freaking Cowboys. But the camera shots, in the game yesterday with the fans crying. Oh man, I was enjoying that, as you might be able to tell. But it was great stuff. NFL playoffs, and I gotta take what kind of pure or sick satisfaction that I can out of all of it, because I am just a beaten down, just hardly anything left in my brain or heart Bears fan at this point. So bear with me, but that it was a good weekend. It was a good weekend also too. Iowa State, Texas, 79-70. The Cyclones won that game on Saturday. That was an outstanding game to watch. Great to listen to. I was doing my nerd thing, had the radio on, had the television on, and it was a great call on the Cyclone Radio Network, and just a great game. Two teams that are able to guard at just an extremely high level. And you'll hear plenty of talk about that game and more as it relates to the Iowa State men's basketball team today on the show. I am your host, Cole Bear. Welcome in, Monday edition of the program. Well underway by now. John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network will join us, as he usually does on a Monday, in the next segment of today's show. However you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thanks so much for being here. Follow us on Twitter. We're at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColeBear. Like the Facebook page. Type in 1650 102.3 The Fan. You'll see it pop up. Hammer that like button. And check out the all-new 1650thefan.com. That's where you get the podcast of this show. Whole lot of other great content is there, including tonight's Metro High School sports matchups, which I'll give to you here in just a few short moments during area sports news and scores. You can call me up if you want to add to the show with any questions or comments, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or 800-913-9479. You could also email the show. Email address is cole@1650thefan.com. As I mentioned, area sports news and scores here in just a moment. After we're done there, we take our first time out, get you a CBS Sports Flash VSiN Action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Monday. Looking into Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll come back from that first break. As I mentioned, John Walters, Cyclone Radio Network, will join us. When we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during that break, and come back and hear about the UNI men's basketball team. A lot of hoops talk today on the show, so I figured I'd lead it off with my thoughts on the big weekend of football so we could get a dose of that. But UNI coach Ben Jacobson, a part of the Missouri Valley Conference coaches Zoom call today, so got some audio from Coach Jake on the Panthers that have won five straight now after going on the road and getting a one-point win, 69-68 over Southern Illinois on Saturday. Panthers, the hottest team outside of Loyola in the Valley, and Noah Carter, the Dubuque native, has been a big, big part of the Panthers' five-game winning streak and just really their success, all of their success so far this season. So Coach Jake talks about Noah, talks about their improvements and continued work on offense and defense. And also, too, I hope we got enough time for this. Coach Jacobson was asked today by another Valley reporter about the rivalry with Drake and how that's really amplified itself over the past three, four seasons. And I thought there was some interesting, I don't even know if it's interesting at this point. I just think Coach Jacobson is not going to miss an opportunity to respectfully point out the benefits for the entire state of rivalry games. And that formerly included, of course, Iowa and Iowa State for both Drake and UNI. And there is absolutely no reason why those games should not be played. We know why the Iowa game's not played anymore. I explained that one day on the show. Long story short, Fran McCaffrey can be a brat sometimes. And he came up to McLeod Center. His team was getting handed its lunch. He was a brat. He took his ball. He went home. He's also stubborn. And that's why this is not going to that's why it doesn't happen anymore. And so it's as classy. Well, at the same time, if you know what you're listening to, realize that Coach Jake's not going to miss an opportunity to point out that these guys don't play us anymore. So it's not as juicy maybe as I'm selling it, but nonetheless, stick around. Coach Ben Jacobson, we'll hear from him in the third segment of today's show. After we're done there, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, as well as Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. We'll come back after that break and wrap up the show. And speaking of the NFL Network update, it is the Cyclones Coach's Corner tonight on The Fan from 6:30 to 8. Then we will join in progress, probably be late in the first quarter, that final wild card game of the NFL playoff weekend, if we can still call it that, the Arizona Cardinals in Hollywood to take on the Rams. So we'll join that game at 8. So break off the knob, stay right here, and if I can find what I'm trying to get into here. There we go. Found the stack. It wasn't where it usually is. Today in high school sports in the Metro, in high school basketball, Waterloo Columbus is hosting a girl-boy doubleheader with Applington Parkersburg, and in girls high school wrestling, Cedar Falls is among 17 schools competing in a tournament at Solon. The Iowa State men's basketball team is back in action tomorrow. They play at Texas Tech, 15th-ranked Cyclones. That's right, 15th still this week in the new AP Top 25. 15th-ranked Cyclones are coming off a 79-70 home win over number 21 Texas on Saturday. Iowa State 14-3 after that win over the Longhorns, 2-3 in the Big 12. And the Cyclones take on the Red Raiders tomorrow night at 7 here on The Fan, tip-off at 8. They won the first game of that series, 51-47, back on January 5th. Iowa State guard Gabe Kalscher has been named the Big 12 Newcomer of the Week. Kalscher averaged 18 points and was 10-for-21 behind the arc last week as the Cyclones split a pair of games against nationally ranked opponents. Against Texas, Kalscher had 22 points, 6-of-12 from 3 in that win. And then against Kansas in what was a one-point loss, he was 4-for-9 from distance and finished with 14 points. The Iowa State women's basketball team continues to move up in the AP Top 25. The Cyclones are up two spots to number 7 in this week's poll. Bill Finley's Cyclones 16-1, off to the best start in program history. South Carolina remains number 1, Stanford is 2nd, and Louisville is 3rd. Keegan Murray scored 25 points and grabbed 10 rebounds as Iowa withstood a furious comeback by shorthanded Minnesota to beat the Golden Gophers 81-71 yesterday. Due to injuries and illness, Minnesota suited up only 7 scholarship players, and Iowa evens its record to 3-3 in the Big Ten with that W, goes to 13-4 on the season. The Hawks are receiving votes in the AP Top 25. The Iowa women's basketball team roared back from a 16-point first-quarter deficit to defeat Nebraska 93-83 yesterday in Iowa City. Iowa was up 67-66 going into the fourth quarter. Caitlin Clark and Monica Sinano scored 31 points apiece for the Hawks, and Iowa helped itself by going 31 of 34 at the charity stripe. The 11th-ranked Iowa State wrestling team cruised to a pair of wins yesterday. They defeated Montana State Northern and Providence by matching 49-0 scores, and Iowa State recorded 5 falls in both of those duels. Cyclones have won 6 straight duels and 48 of their last 50 matches in the last 5 duels. The Iowa wrestling team extended its dual winning streak to 28 straight with a 36-3 win at number 21 Illinois yesterday. Hawkeyes won 9 of 10 matches, added bonus points in 4 bouts to register their most lopsided win in Champaign in 37 years. The second-ranked Hawkeyes travel to Columbus to face 7th-ranked Ohio State. That's this Friday. And the UNI men's basketball team preparing for a road game Wednesday night at Valpo. UNI has yet to lose a game since the calendar turned to 2022. Panthers are 9-7 overall, 5-1 in the Valley. And finally, the 13th-ranked Wartburg women's basketball team hit a season-high 15 three-pointers as they downed Iowa Wesleyan 79-64 yesterday in Waverly. Jaden Murphy led the Knights with 22 points, and Hannah Anderson added 20. Wartburg Lady Knights 12-2 now this year. And finally, Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz has disbanded an alumni advisory committee that was created after a 2020 investigation found evidence of racial bias against black players in his program and bullying behavior by some of his assistants. The Cedar Rapids Gazette reports that Ferentz's decision to end the committee came shortly after its leader, former offensive lineman David Porter, suggested it was time for the Iowa to part ways with Ferentz, athletic director Gary Barta, and Ferentz's staff. But Ferentz says he had decided to overhaul the committee last fall before Porter made his comment to other committee members in a text message. We will talk more about that tomorrow on the show with David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com. All right, went way too long in that first segment. Let's take this time out. We'll come back, and John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network will join us next. You're listening to a Monday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
And it's sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit Progressive.com. Rams and Cardinals wrap up wild card weekend, and J.J. Watt will be on the field tonight for Arizona after undergoing surgery for a torn labrum back in October. The winner of that game will face the Buccaneers on Sunday. Niners linebacker Fred Warner said on social media he'll be good to go Saturday after suffering an ankle injury yesterday. And don't expect changes in Dallas after the game and season-ending mistake yesterday. Executive Vice President Stephen Jones said on 105.3 The Fan of Mike McCarthy's chance of returning, he said absolutely very confident in that. And the Raiders have put in a request to interview Patriots defensive coordinator Gerard Mayo and GM Dave Ziegler, even though they've still yet to announce a change in leadership. NBA action right now. Fourth quarter. Grizzlies blowing out the Bulls 99-72. Clippers in front of the Pacers 108-100. The Celtics knocked off the Pelicans 104-92. The Hornets topped the Knicks 97-87. The Wizards down the Sixers 117-98. And the Cavaliers over the Nets 114-107 in double overtime. Purdue topped Illinois 96-88. I'm Rich Ackerman.
Rams, Cardinals, and Trash Tuesday. Tomorrow morning, the DA Show, 6 Eastern, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio.
This is Jim Rome, and you are listening to the Cedar Valley's home for the jungle and the NFL, 1650 The Fan.
Steven Spielberg famously said, "The delicate balance of mentoring someone is not creating them in their own image, but giving them the opportunity to create themselves." The Cedar Falls School District would like to take this opportunity to honor its 2021 award-winning mentors. Sincerest congratulations to the following: Jen Paulson, Sarah Carlson, Hannah Tucson, and Troy Becker on receiving prestigious awards within their respected fields of expertise. Jen Paulson, teacher at Holmes Junior High, has been awarded the Distinguished Service Award by the Iowa Council Council of Teachers of English. Sarah Carlson, teacher at Pete Junior High, has been awarded the Don Fett Award by the Iowa Council for the Social Studies. Hannah Tucson, teacher at Southdale Elementary, has been chosen as the Art Educator of Iowa's Outstanding Elementary Art Educator. And Tiger Pride Activities Director Troy Becker has been named the 2021-22 Northeast District High School Athletics and Activities Director of the Year. Congratulations, one and all, from the Cedar Falls School District.
Cedar Falls School, every student, every day.
It's time for the 23rd Annual Magical Mix Kids Charity Auction, and this year it's gone virtual. This is Jennifer Bainbridge.
And I'm Lee Bainbridge with RE/MAX Home Group.
Join us as we host this online auction event. Bid on gift baskets, gift cards, tickets, and much more.
Help us raise money to take sick kids from the Cedar Valley to Disney World. Go to mmk2022.com to see all the items and start bidding.
Thank you to our dream sponsors, Karen Kaiser and Kurt Klatt, VGM and 93.5 The Mix.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Heads up, sports bettors. Right now you can try VSiN All Access free for 30 days with no credit card required. Visit vsin.com/freemonth to sign up now. Here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Midway point of the NHL season approaching. The latest odds for the Stanley Cup, the Avalanche the favorite, plus 550, the Panthers plus 650, followed by the Maple Leafs and Lightning at plus 700, and the Golden Knights fifth at plus 800. NHL tonight, the Blackhawks and Kraken even on the money line, minus 110, 5.5 total. NBA this afternoon, the Bulls plus 5.5 at the Grizzlies. NFC wild card tonight, the Cardinals at the Rams. Arizona a 3.5-point underdog, 49.5 total. The winner moves on to play Tampa Bay in the divisional round. The other games are set. The Bengals plus 3.5 at the Titans. 49ers, a 5-point underdog at Green Bay. The Chiefs, a 2-point home favorite against Buffalo.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Cloudy skies expected tonight with lows around 21. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 34. Lows dip down to about 2 above. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Wednesday, with daytime highs approaching 9 above. 0 Thursday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 27.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert on your home for Cubs baseball. 1650 The Fan and 102.3 FM.
Welcome back to a Monday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. And it was quite a week last week for the Iowa State men's basketball team. They go on the road. They lose by 1 point to a, as usual, really good Kansas team. Able to bounce back from that. And then on Saturday, you heard it right here on The Fan, get a well-deserved win and what I thought was just a really gritty Big 12 game. Over then number 21 Texas, 79-70, the final of that one. So to break it all down and to look forward to another tough game in the Big 12, they all are. The 18th-ranked Red Raiders of Texas Tech, the opponent tomorrow night. We'll talk about it all with John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Cyclone Radio Network. Follow him on Twitter at JWCyclonesTV. John, how you doing today? Thanks for being here.
I'm happy to be here. Doing great, and looking forward to heading down to Lubbock to see if the Cyclones can get the sweep over the Red Raiders.
Yeah, that would be an impressive sweep given what's taking place with the Red Raiders. We'll dig in on that in just a moment, but first, how about we go back to last Tuesday, because it was last Monday when we last spoke, and Cyclones go down to Allen Fieldhouse and give the Jayhawks everything, and then some. 62-61, the final in that one. A little bit of controversy on the missed goaltending call, but then again, there were plenty of possessions after that where Iowa State could have swung the good fortunes their way just a little bit more. Thinking back to that game, John, what's still front of mind for you?
Well, just the way the guys competed. You know, I think that's what we've seen from this team all season long, and I think they got back to their identity of just being really tough and hard-nosed and competing. And anytime you can hold Kansas to 62 points on their home floor, you know you're getting after it. And I just felt like, you know, even when they got down, they came back, they always found a way, and then they took that lead late, and, you know, unfortunately Kansas came down and hit a tough shot, and Iowa State had a great look at the end from Gabe Kalscher. that if it had gone in, would have just been a phenomenal victory. But, you know, I look back at the two games this past week, Kansas and then Texas, and, you know, Gabe Kelscher took a really big step forward in those two games. He's played very well. Robert Jones took a big step forward in those two games. He's played exceptionally well the last couple games. And I think getting those two going, and then Tyrese Hunter has played two of the best games of his career in those two games. As you start looking at the pieces of the puzzle and, okay, where was Iowa State maybe struggling a little bit? Robert had been struggling. Gabe had really been struggling. You know, Tyrese a little bit, just not unexpected for a freshman, but I just think all three of those guys played lights out last week, and that gives me a lot of hope for Iowa State going into Lubbock, which is one of the toughest places to play. But, you know, if those three guys continue to play well and other guys continue to play at the level they've been playing, I think Iowa State goes in there with a great opportunity to win.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you brought all three of those guys up. I wanted to ask you about them today. And with Gabe Kelscher, Big 12 Player of the Week, that was announced earlier today. He had 22 in the win. That was a game high in that win over Texas, 14 in the one-point loss to Kansas. And, John, we've really seen some fluctuations in terms of point totals for Gabe this season. Is there anything from whether you've, you know, your conversations with Gabe maybe on post-game or pre-game shows or perhaps in talking to Coach Otzelberger or anybody on the staff about, you know, what Gabe's, I would guess, honed in on so he can more consistently produce for his team?
I think the biggest thing with Gabe is that the staff has complete confidence in him, and they're not going to ask him to not shoot the basketball. They want him to hunt his shot. They have since the minute he arrived on campus. He's a streaky shooter, and, you know, he had the 30-point game really against Memphis, and then he had some real games where he struggled. And right now he's on a hot streak, and you hope it can continue to keep going. But he's shooting the ball with a ton of confidence right now, and that's the great thing is that the confidence coming from that staff toward him taking shots has never waned. So he knows he's got the green light. And one thing about Gabe is his defense will never suffer because of his offense struggling. And he's the top defender on this Iowa State team, and he has been that consistently throughout the season. So even in nights where he has struggled offensively, it hasn't affected his defense. He's continued to be a huge presence on that end of the floor. And it's just such a bonus for Iowa State when they get some offense out of Gabe because, again, he's valuable because of his defense, but when he adds the offense, then he's super valuable. And, you know, the last couple of games, he's had the offense too. So, you know, big part of this team and his leadership. I think when he and Brockington came in this summer, they just established that they weren't here to look for statistics or try to impress everybody with how much they could score. They just wanted to play, and they just wanted to win. And they sacrificed, and I think those two guys really set a tone for this entire team that you've seen carry over into the season.
John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network, our guest right now on a Monday edition of Cole & Company. And John, Gabe's defense has been outstanding. And I thought it was just excellent in the win over Texas on Saturday. And I thought it was perhaps maybe he was the best man-on-man defender in that game. And the reason I point that out is Texas has a bunch of great defenders, too. I thought it was, in terms of all the college basketball I've watched this season, and someone might scratch their head and go, well, it was 79-70. Was it really a defensive battle? Yeah. I mean, what I saw play out on that floor, I thought that both defenses were on a string, you know, in terms of help side, in terms of their footwork, their positioning. I mean, you could put that on a CD and sell that as an instructional video. That's how good I thought both teams played defense on Saturday.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because a lot of people would look at the score and say, okay, it was more of a shootout than most people expected, which is true. I mean, if you would have told me the final score of that game was going to be 79-70, I would have said, oh, it went to triple overtime, huh?
Yeah.
So, you know, I was as surprised as anybody that it was that high scoring. But guys made tough shots for both teams against good defense. And, you know, Gabe in particular had the defensive assignment on Marcus Carr. Those two had played together at Minnesota. Carr, you know, averaged close to 20 points a game last year at Minnesota. But I think Gabe really took it as a challenge to shut his old teammate down. And I thought he did a fabulous job on Carr. And You know, Gabe leads his team. He's tied for the team lead in charges drawn. He does that very well. The positioning's just excellent. He always is in the right spot. He's a very intelligent player. The other thing he's brought to Iowa State on the offensive end of the floor, in addition to making some shots, he's a pretty good passer. And second on the team in assists. And he's done a nice job finding some guys when he attracts some attention with his shooting. He's able to find some guys open. So he's a super valuable part of what Iowa State has going. But I think, yeah, that you're right. These two teams got after it, and I'm sure they will again. I mean, they were two of the top scoring defensive teams in the nation. And they'll get after each other. That's the Big 12. You know, I mean, again, go back to Tuesday night, 62-61 in Lawrence. You know, I mean, you're not gonna see a lot of games in the 80s and 90s in this league. It's gonna be in the 60s most nights because these teams really get after each other defensively. I can't think of one bad defensive team in the Big 12, and I was starting to think maybe Oklahoma State is. And then you go in and win at Baylor. You know, and yeah. So. There just isn't a bad defensive team in the league. There really isn't.
You mentioned Robert Jones as well, and I mean, you got to give all the credit to that young guy because, you know, he begins the season in Coach Otzelberg's starting lineup, and then quickly, next game, he's out of it, and he stays out of it, but obviously he's got, you know, a good head on his shoulders, John, because despite that, and despite some struggles with his game, he's, you know, put his hard hat on. He continues to do the work, and it seems like it's finally starting to turn for him. 7 points against Kansas, 8 points against Texas, and while, you know, Coach Otzelberger and the Cyclones were able to matchup-wise play Jazz at the five a lot, and that's really shown to have some value. There are times when you got to have both of your traditional big men ready to contribute, and no better time than right now, and when you're in the thick of the Big 12 schedule, to be able to have two bigs you can count on.
Well, it's absolutely true, and George Condit's playing the best basketball of his career, and now Robert Jones has really come on here of late. And the thing Robert does, and TJ will talk about this, he just brings instant energy to the floor. You know, the minute he gets in there, he impacts the game with his energy. And they don't ask a lot of him. They don't run a lot of plays for him or anything. He did have a nice post move the other day against Texas. That was kind of cool to see. I didn't know he had that in his repertoire. But his deal is running the floor. And I mean beating the other center down the floor to the rim, which flattens out the floor, allows your three-point shooters to get in position to take some transition threes, but also gets you some rim run dunks, which we've seen Robert do a couple of times. And when he does that, it really puts pressure on opposing defenses. And then defensively, just hard-nosed and tough. And he's going to set screens on the offensive end like he needs it to. And so Robert just does all the dirty work type stuff that you need to win. And he loves and embraces that role. I mean, he's not worried about not starting. He's fine with coming off the bench and making an immediate impact on this team. And I'd say that's true of all these bench guys. You know, Caleb Grill started every game at UNLV last year. Trey Jackson was a starter for Iowa State last year. Jazz Coon started at Washington State. All these bench guys come from places where they were starters, you know, and now they're not, but they're doing a great job in those roles coming off the bench, and they're not complaining about it. They embrace it. And all four of those guys have really impacted winning for Iowa State.
Couple more minutes here with John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network. We'll have Iowa State men's basketball tomorrow night right here on The Fan. As we mentioned earlier, 18th-ranked Texas Tech, the opponent. Cyclones going to Lubbock. That is a 7 o'clock airtime with the pregame and an 8 o'clock tip-off. So, John, as much as maybe some of the casual college basketball fans go, okay, Big 12, Baylor's really good. Kansas is really good. I know Iowa State's having a good year, but you got to keep going down that list because right after Iowa State, speaking of the rankings, I suppose, sits Texas Tech, like I mentioned, at number 18. And boy, do they have some pelts on their wall having beaten Kansas and Baylor. And they seem to still have that edge that Chris Beard brought there in his time that they're just going to guard you like crazy and bring a lot of energy.
Yeah, Mark Adams was kind of the defensive coordinator for Chris Beard at Texas Tech as his associate head coach. And he's taken it over, and they are very hard nosed on that end of the floor. They're big guys. When they play the names, I mean, you're looking at guys, a bunch of guys that are around 250 pounds. They're very, very physical. And TJ constantly challenges his team to be physical. And it's going to be fascinating to watch this game and see if Iowa State can be physical on Texas Tech's home floor, where they're going to have a huge crowd. They're going to be very much into the game. They turned a lot of heads when they beat Kansas and then turned around and won at number one Baylor, handing Baylor its first loss of the season. That caught a lot of people's attention. Now, they lost to Kansas State after that, but that was their third game in 5 days. You know, they're in the middle of some of these makeups because of games that were canceled because of COVID or whatever, and so they had three games in 5 days, a couple of them on the road, and they kind of hit a wall against Kansas State. But they're a dynamite team, and they have very good players, and a lot of them. And he went out, Coach Adams, got a bunch of transfers, eight of them into the program. Many of them came from smaller schools, Winthrop, Hampton, places where they come in with a little chip on their shoulder to show that they can do it at the Big 12 level. And these guys are playing lights out. UTEP, I mean, all these guys that have come in from the, maybe not Power 5 conferences have shown that they belong at the Power 5 level. So I think they're really good. I think they're very well coached. And it'll just be fascinating to see. I mean, first game was a rock fight, 51-47 Iowa State. I fully anticipate another rock fight tomorrow, even though I do think Iowa State has improved quite a bit offensively since that first meeting. And Texas Tech has some scorers back that didn't play in that first meeting, so you could see a little bit higher scoring game. But, man, everything's going to be challenged tomorrow night in Lubbock. And, you know, TJ wouldn't have it any other way. That's the kind of game he loves. And it'll be a physical battle. Wear your chin strap for this one, man. This one's going to be hard-hitting.
Put your eye black on, too.
That's right.
John, I know you're going to be traveling to Lubbock, so what can you tell us about the itinerary for the Cyclone Coaches Corner tonight?
Yeah, so Brent Bloom and Noah Wolf are going to fill in for me, and they'll be the two hosts. And we're going to have Bill Fenley on at the start of the show tonight. Iowa State women ranked number 7 in the nation, 16-1, best start in school history. So he's going to be on at the start of the show. And then I did an interview with T.J. Otzelberger, and we cut up some sound from that. And so we'll have some thoughts from T.J. on some of the topics we just talked about, Tyrese Hunter, Gabe Kelscher, the bench, quite a few of those topics that Brent and Noah will examine in the latter part of the show. So should be a good show, and lots of positives to talk about right now with the Cyclone men and women's basketball programs. I mean, they've combined for 30 wins. I think there's only one school in the country that has 31 that's above them for combined wins, men's and women's basketball. So
wow.
It's been quite a season of names.
Good stuff, John. We'll be listening. Have a great call tomorrow night. Thanks for joining the show.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me, Cole.
This Radio Iowa Sports Report is presented by the Iowa Department of Public Safety Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau. Impaired driving takes a life every hour in the U.S. Don't drive impaired.
Good afternoon. I'm Todd Kim. Drake could be without two starters tonight when the Bulldogs visit Southern Illinois. Tank Hemphill missed last Wednesday's win over Illinois State, and freshman Tucker DeVries suffered an ankle injury late in that contest. The Bulldogs are 3-1 in the Missouri Valley.
Tank is not going to play tonight. Tucker went a little bit in practice yesterday, so we'll see how it feels today during shoot around and things and make a decision, you know, for the game later on today.
That's Drake coach Darren DeVries. Southern Illinois is 2-2 in the Valley. Iowa State remains 15th in the latest AP college basketball poll. The Cyclones are 14-3 overall, 2-3 in the Big 12. They're on the road tomorrow night to visit 18th ranked Texas Tech. Todd Kim, Radio Iowa Sports.
Hi, I'm Adam. Lauren, my wife, was having trouble moving. Then her speech was slurred and her face drooped. A stroke seemed so unlikely. She was only 30. I had to react immediately. I called 911 and Lauren quickly received medical attention. Now we don't take anything for granted, especially spending time together as a family. Looking back, I'm so grateful I didn't hesitate to call 911. A quick reaction can make all the difference. Learn signs of stroke. Visit strokeawareness.com.
Sponsored by Genentech and NAEMT.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier.
That's why we created My Social Security. A My Social Security account allows you to access your earnings history and benefits information, request a replacement Social Security card, get a proof of income letter, estimate and apply for benefits, and more. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
My name is Anna. I live in Cedar Falls. I was in a severe car accident. The driver did not have car insurance. I was actually severely injured. I had a lot of hospital bills that needed to be paid. I was a single mom. I called Balkirchen Home. Eshan came and saw me while I was actually in the hospital. He explained everything thoroughly and how we were gonna get compensated. Eshan really seemed like he genuinely cared about me and not just getting compensation for himself.
When a car or motorcycle accident injures you or your loved ones, you need a strong team of attorneys to protect your rights. Balkirchen Home has been in the Cedar Valley since 1958. Balkirchen Home are your local injury attorneys providing personalized representation at the highest level. For a free consultation, visit balkirchhome.com.
I would highly recommend Balkirchen Home.
Balkirchen Home, helping injured Iowans since 1958.
I am very, very grateful.
When it's cold outside, you can dress for it. But when your furnace gives out, hey, a blanket fort can only do so much. So call your local 1-Hour Heating and Air Conditioning. We'll replace your old furnace with a new high-efficiency one. And that beats a bunch of blankets any day. Right now, cozy up to big savings on a complete heating system. Call 319-287-9200.
Your comfort is just a call away. Call 1-Hour.
Terms and conditions may apply. Call for details. Independently owned and operated. Licensed in the respective state or county.
First Bank is proud to play a role in helping local businesses and farmers reach their financial goals. Hi, this is Chris Miller with First Bank. Our team of knowledgeable lenders can provide the expertise you need to properly finance, structure, and grow your operations. We can customize a plan specifically for you. Give us a call and let's talk. Serving you first. First Bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert on 1650 The Fan and the 1650 The Fan mobile app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
Welcome back. Monday edition of the show continues. We're also going to continue with talking hoops. Yeah, we're going to go from talking Iowa State to you and I. Coach Ben Jacobson among those meeting the media on the Missouri Valley Conference Zoom call today. And the Panthers are hot, hottest team outside of Loyola in the Valley, having won 5 in a row and extended that winning streak on Saturday night at Southern Illinois with a 69-68 win over the Salukis. Ben Jacobson today talking about how the Panther offense has gotten better over this stretch. Meanwhile, the defense, yeah, it's gotten better, but there's a long ways to go yet.
Yeah, you know, we've made some improvements at both ends, Elliot. Offensively, our pace has been better. We've done a better job of getting into transition, getting some early offense. We feel like our movement has been better. We feel like our passing has been better, and we feel like our decision making has been better. So that adds up to playing better offense. You know, defensively, we've had good stretches. You know, we had one of our best halves, and I felt like it was maybe the difference in our first game against Belpo. That first 20 minutes at our place in the first game against them defensively was probably the best 20 minutes that we've put together all year. And now they found some things in the second half, and the game was basically even in the second half. So our defense is still inconsistent. You know, we're still making some mistakes. We've got to get a lot better at that end. You know, it's better than what it was November, December, but we've got to get a lot better defensively.
And Ben Jacobson also talked about how Noah Carter has been such a big factor in that offensive improvement. Carter, in the 5-game winning streak, has averaged 17 points per game since being inserted into the starting lineup at the beginning of the streak back on January 2nd against Evansville in what became one of a couple blowout wins in the five-game stretch.
Yeah, having a presence down there with, you know, given Austin's situation, has been extremely important for us. You know, that's an area that as we know, you know, Austin has been a real presence for us, you know, in the paint. He's able to get a good shot. He's able to people have had to double him some, and he's a good passer out of there. So that's a presence that our team, you know when he's been available in Hawaii and against Missouri State, one that our team needs. And that's Noah's been able to just doing a terrific job. You know, he's been tremendous in terms of being more physical. He's scored the ball well for us last year, and he's been really good in terms of scoring the ball for us this year. And you know, his ability to get points in the paint, around the basket, be a presence for us down there has been critical for us with Austin's situation. And even if Austin was 100% and up and running, it would be the same. You know, Noah's just doing a great job, and that presence is important.
Here's a little more of Coach Jacobson talking about Carter.
Yeah, and, in particular the last, 10, 11, 12 games last year, Cole, even when Fife was playing and Noah was playing more at the power forward position, you know, we still, you know, we've always wanted to get him touches and his last month of the season last year, he was playing about 30 minutes a game, and he was getting more touches, and we were able to get him the ball on the block, it stands out a little bit more right now because he is the one guy that gives us that presence down there, that ability to score some down there around the basket. But that's something that we've always liked about Noah is his ability to score different spots on the floor.
And just what I've seen from Carter since he went into the starting lineup and did so at that five spot for the Panthers is really just leaning into playing physical and, you know, providing a lot of production on the block, understanding that he's in the starting lineup because he's a good player and he can do a lot of different things. But at the same time, I think he understands whether it's, you know, all on his own or perhaps, you know, Ben Jacobson or Seth Tuttle, somebody on the staff has said, you know, we need you to do at least in part some of the things that Austin Fife has been able to do for the team because of Austin's limitations due to long COVID this season. And he's done all that and then some. I mean, you see the way that he plays, and I understand this could be, I don't want this taken out of context, but I do think at 6'6", playing inside, starting at center, it makes you think a little bit about Charles Barkley, just from the fact of playing a position where he's undersized, and you can see it, that he's not as big as the guys he's going up against. But really, when the ball gets rolled out and you watch the game, you're not thinking about the fact that Noah Carter's 6'6", and the guy he's going up against is 6'9", or 6'10", or whatever it might be, an inch or 5 inches taller than him. He makes you forget about that. And the other thing too is, you know, he's also able to step out and score behind the 3-point line. His ability to affect the game offensively at all three levels has been pretty incredible. Let's see if we got time here. Here is Ben Jacobson talking about, I got to go real quick here with the rivalries, the rivalry with Drake and what it's meant for the conference, his team. And this is what I was talking about earlier in the show, where there's, I think, maybe a little dig at Iowa and Iowa State in here.
Yeah, I think I just think it's great for the kids playing basketball in the state of Iowa. You know, and that's what that's what I always liked about our team, Drake's team. You know, when we did play Iowa and Iowa State, when you had all. When all four teams were playing each other, that's why I talked about that a lot. No matter who it is, you know, around the state of Iowa, because there's tremendous development of kids as they come through in the state of Iowa with the high school programs, and then all the way down through their youth programs. The AU programs in the state are really good. Like, there's great basketball in this state. And one of the things that, again, that I really appreciated about the four Division I teams playing each other was that was something for all those young kids that love playing basketball, that, you know, watching those games and you know, maybe providing them with a little bit of motivation. And now we've got the same thing going, even though those games are gone. You know, our games with Drake have been great games.
All right, we got to take this final timeout. We'll come back, wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Chris Rose with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Day two of Super Wild Card Weekend saw a triple header, which kicked off in Tampa Bay, where the Bucs jumped out to a 17-0 lead at the half and cruised to a 31-15 win over the Eagles. Tom Brady joined Peyton Manning as the only two quarterbacks to win five playoff games with two different teams. The Niners took care of the Cowboys 23-17, but had to hold on in a furious fourth-quarter comeback that fell just short as time expired. The Cowboys were hurt by 14 penalties and a relentless pass rush by San Francisco that produced five sacks. The Niners now head to Green Bay next week in the divisional round. The Steelers jumped out to a 7-0 lead on a TJ Watt fumble return, but it was all Chiefs from there, scoring the next five touchdowns in a 42-21 rout in what was likely the last game for Big Ben. The Chiefs will host the Bills next Sunday in the divisional round. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Menards is your bathroom and plumbing headquarters. A brand new Magic Woods vanity is the perfect addition to your bathroom. The Essex Vanity Collection offers transitional styling to suit your taste. Each vanity is available in dark chocolate, matte white, and gray finishes with contemporary brushed nickel hardware. A vanity top and integrated wave bowl are included. Save big on Magic Woods vanities, good through January 23rd, right now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. If it wasn't evident enough throughout the season, this weekend's wildcard games proved just how hard it is to beat an elite quarterback. The Bengals took down the Raiders thanks to some amazing throws by Joe Burrow. The Bills embarrassed the Patriots behind Josh Allen. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers cruised to a win over the Eagles, and Patrick Mahomes led the Chiefs to a big win against the Steelers. Football's a team game, but the quarterbacking position is so important. In the playoffs, everything moves faster. Decisions need to be made quicker. That doesn't affect elite quarterbacks. They seem to take their game to the next level in those situations. But it puts a lot of pressure on quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts and Mac Jones. Those quarterbacks may be able to win regular season games, but none of those offenses are designed to keep up with the NFL's elite QBs. We saw a lot of parity throughout the NFL regular season, but Wild Card Weekend served as a quick reminder, not all playoff quarterbacks are created equal. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. And now, a message from Discover about real rewards. If you're a loyal credit card customer, you should be rewarded for your loyalty, preferably with something that you actually want and something that you can actually use, something like Cashback Match. Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year automatically, dollar for dollar, because when it comes to rewards, you can't go wrong with cash back. Finally, rewards that make sense. Discover. Exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations do apply. Remember all those big dreams you used to have, and then life made other plans? With a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, it's time to bring those dreams back. Start your own business or commit to van life with a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Now, you could win the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter Mode 4x4 that we have. Enter the Dan Patrick Show Ultimate Camping Rig Sweepstakes. To enter, get official rules, visit danpatrick.com or foxsportsradio.com. Have to do it by February 2nd for your chance to win.
For the first time ever, the NFL playoffs will feature a game on Monday night. Hi, this is Kevin Kugler of Westwood One. Join us for the conclusion of the Super Wild Card round of the NFL playoffs. Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals meet their NFC West rivals, the Los Angeles Rams. Kurt Warner, Ross Tucker, and I will be in L.A. to bring you all the action. From the wild card round all the way to Super Bowl 56 in Los Angeles, the NFL playoffs are right here.
We'll join the game after the Cyclones Coach's Corner at 8.
Cole & Company, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan mobile app.
Welcome back for a final time on this Monday. Thanks so much for being here, including John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network. If you missed any of it, check it out at the all-new 1650thefan.com in just a few short moments in podcast form. Cyclones Coach's Corner coming up at 6:30. Bill Finley among those that will be the guests tonight on the show, talking about those 7th-ranked Iowa State Cyclones' best start in program history. After the Cyclones Coach's Corner, we'll join the wild card game in progress, Arizona at L.A. We'll join that at 8. Have a great night, everybody. I'll be back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.